At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha!
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right. Welcome back to another The Home episode of the podcast. For the host of this here podcast, Ted Smith, the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
And look, at this point, Matt's right. I should have set him the intro. All right, back there in the bottom square, moving around today. Here's the name of Cobb. Cobb's going on.
Hoo. All right, so shares of the podcast, obviously not trading until we're back in studio, but the Russian ruble collapsing this week. Wild, wild story. And yeah, I'm pumped to hang with you guys. What's up?
He beat you to it, man. Getting everything all set up. Back on the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Oh, it's good to see you, boys. Well played, Cobb.
Free fall, boys. I'm talking bloodbath on the financial streets.
First of all, public service announcement. Number one, you should never lose a debit card. But if you do, do not lose it right before the end of the month. Obviously, this is personal. I left mine in a machine at an unknown place. I called them. They said they couldn't find it. I was like, all right, I'll cancel it and get a new one. It hasn't shown up yet. And basically, I'm just being lazy. Like, I have another credit card that I can just switch all my auto payments to. And I'm like, come on, new card, get here. I don't want to have to switch it again.
Wow. That's, you know, depending on what bank you have. Actually, I'm sure you've gone through this. Some of them will print you one right there, but we don't need to talk about it.
Oh, I didn't bother to walk up to the bank. I just called. Well, you know what? In my defense, it was after 5 p.m. when I noticed, and I was leaving town the next morning at 6 a.m. So I was scared of people using it if they found it. So I was just like, let me just call and cancel it and order a new one.
That's the right move.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that was what, Thursday night? I was like, it'll be here by Monday. Look, got home from work yesterday, checked the mail, no new debit card. But you know what was in there? Matt's familiar with it. Jury duty.
Oh, wow. That story took a turn.
Yeah, right? I was like, come on, man.
Give me something. Not jury duty. That's it, man. Yeah, I always wonder about those things like, when there's a big case going on, I'm like, who's getting that letter to go like figure out the Elizabeth Holmes thing or, you know, whatever, the Epstein case or Ghislaine Maxwell, you know, like that's a wild Uno card to draw.
And I'm sure everybody has the same opinion. But yeah, that's one of those things. As soon as I saw it, I was like, I'm gonna get stuck on some fucking massive jury for 2 weeks or some crap.
Ted, knowing you, honestly, okay, I don't remember if grand juries have juries or not, like citizens, but I feel like Ted, it would be like some like case of the century, like, you know, like OJ level case or higher. And you're just like, like the whole nation is watching and you're like the one person who doesn't care about you. Like, I just want this to be over.
Right. Honestly, the first thing I thought about was like, what if I get stuck on a case that's a week long? Like, I get fidgety as it is. I got to sit in a courtroom for 6 or 7 hours every day and just pay attention.
If this was a sitcom, they would just cut to you Googling how to cause a mistrial.
You know me, I'm too hard-headed. Like, once we get to deliberation, like, well, hang on now. We gotta fucking look at the facts here.
You know what? I didn't realize until my sister did jury duty. I thought that every time, so you'd go into the courtroom, right? And you hear all the evidence from both sides. And I thought they got to go in the back and talk about it. They don't get to say a word to each other until it's time to deliberate, until closing arguments. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they both to equally try their case.
I got yelled at for making a joke about the case on a break.
Really? What was the joke?
I just made some comment about the lady being... It was about one of the witnesses was an Elvis impersonator. And the cross-questioning attorney was like, what is it you do for work? And he was like, I'm an Elvis impersonator. And you heard the other ones try and say objection before he could do it, but it was overruled. And he just, Elvis impersonator.
And he's like, were you wearing the dark sunglasses at the time?
Yeah, they wouldn't let him say anything more about it. But we heard that he was an Elvis impersonator. And of course, I cracked a joke about it back there the next break. And someone was like, we can't do that. That'll cause, you know, I was like, all right. That was just one thing. I just thought it was not that relevant. I'm done.
Oh, wait a minute. So another juror chewed you out?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like the bailiff was like,
no, it was a juror.
That is not funny. And then, but we are taking care of business.
Sir, please take this seriously. Thank you. Thank you very much.
They're going to throw me off very quickly. It's like, no, you're right. It's serious. I mean, I don't know. There's a hunk of burning love in my heart for this case. Like, sir, that's two now. Stop.
I've always thought, like, what are like the most inflammatory things you could say to not get selected for the jury? You know what I mean? Like, dependent on the case. Like, do you have strong feelings about, you know, like geological events, and you just go off?
I just hope I get a softball. Like, do you have strong feelings on tailgating? I'll be like, fuck, yeah, I do. Just
you're like, God damn.
Get me
God
out.
God damn,
now.
I've been waiting for this.
All right. If this case happened at a tailgate, I can't work on this jury. I travel to places just to tailgate. I don't even go to the games.
Ted, you'd be like the Slumdog Millionaire version of jury selection of voir dire. the questions, like some crazy. Have you seen Slumdog Millionaire?
I have not.
Oh, okay. So do you know the premise or no?
The dude wins a lottery.
No. So, okay. You remember the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
I was going to say, so no.
Wait, do you remember the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah, with Regis.
Yeah, exactly. Regis, like, who wants to be a millionaire? Okay, so it's basically that show in India. It's like the Bollywood version, right? And this guy gets all these questions, and, you know, it becomes a big sensation because he's moving his way up, working his way towards $1 million, and the whole country is watching. And he keeps getting these harder and harder questions, but every question... He's from the slums in India, but he weirdly knows the answer because of like some crazy situation that's happened in his life. And through that game show, they tell his life story. And so basically, like, if your question was about tailgating, it's just like, oh, it's so germane. And then they ask you a question like related to dip, and you're like, oh my God, like this, like I've trained for this, you know? And so, and then like, there'd be one about like the AFL-CIO or something. It's just like all like perfect based on your life experience. That's what happens to this kid. So that's what I was saying.
Like, do you know the plot of the movie? Yeah, he like wins the lottery. Like, that's actually not it at all.
It's like, where did you hear that? Who told you that?
Yeah, so anyhow, don't lose your debit card close to the end of the month. And as long as we're doing public service announcements, every like 3 out of 4 years, February only has 28 days. Just reminding people.
Ted, I feel like just the way you say that, I feel like you incurred some penalties today. I feel like monetary penalties were paid.
There wasn't. It just, honestly, I was just disappointed. Today's the first, and I'm like, damn, man, that card still ain't here. Like, to use my other credit card, then change them back. Like, yeah, I was just like, you know what? I'm just annoyed about it. But I guess technically Friday, Monday, Tuesday. Today is the third business day. So should be here tomorrow.
So you're just out there talking to AT&T. You're like, I'm good for it, man.
Right. You know I'm good for it. Well, one of them was my damn Sounders thing. And like in December, they called me and were like, dude, like you're delinquent on your thing. And I'm like, oh my God, like not delinquent. They're just like, hey, like you need to pay this. And I was like, yep, got a new card. Forgot to give it the number. And I didn't think another payment was coming for like a while. So when I saw that one today, I was like, of course, like somebody in the Sounders is like, flag this dude's account. He does not pay his bill.
Dude, that's like that whole, I don't know if you want to talk about it, but there's no good way to talk around it. It was like a clerical error, but ended up being like a years long saga. What's the best way? You know, like with that, like that beverage thing. You remember that?
That beverage thing?
At your old place?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, right. No, that's okay. I can tell that story. Like about the water?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought it was an automatic bill. It wasn't. So I just kept throwing them away. I didn't even check the statement.
Yeah, this is for like, honestly, one of my favorite things about Ted is he has like an office-style water cooler in his house at all times. What?
Used to. I don't have it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing. He thought he was paying his bill for 2 years and it was auto paid. And then the dude who like loves him had to cut him off and they were like friends. Yeah, that was hilarious.
Like then it took forever until I moved to get a new one because they were like, oh, your address is like a no go.
Yeah. Like you're DEFCON 1, man. You're not getting a water cooler.
I know.
Your relationship with Sparklets is over.
Right. And like, I know, I'm like, dude, I pay my bills. It's just like, that was a bad one. But then like with this, the last Sounders thing, I was like, damn it. I forgot I switched my card.
I just literally love for like 2 years, you were just like bragging about it, handing out free waters at your house, like drinking them, laughing, like, you know, spacking high fives, throwing the bills away. And then you're like, wait, these haven't been getting paid for the last 2 years. Like that was like. It was such a point of pride and joy in your life. And it's so funny that it just like you literally thought it was just auto paying. I don't know. It honestly was hilarious to me. I loved that saga.
It was also shocking the one day where he's like, dude, seriously, it's been 2 years. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, it's been 2 years. Cause it's once you have the machine, it's like a negligible amount, like 15 or 16 bucks a month, right? For the amount I got. So like, I mean, I know what my balance is, but if my balance is off $10 or $15, it doesn't like, I'm not like, oh,
right. Exactly.
So I just never really look for it or nothing. And I was just like, man, I feel really bad about this dude. And he's like, I can try. It's going to be tough though.
Dude, I don't know why I get so much joy from that. I think it's just because it's like such an everyday thing, you know, that like it could happen to anybody, but like, it just, I don't know. That thing was such a big part of your life. It just makes me laugh.
Yeah, I mean, that was what we took to Burning Man with us.
Yeah, dude, that thing was a hit at Burning Man. I loved having that thing there.
Speaking of which, so I was in Bend this weekend, Bend, Oregon. Now, my previous experience had been mainly been Lapine, Oregon, which is down the street. And then I drove through Bend. Like I was telling Matt, I've only like stopped in town and got like a beer and then continued on my way. So me, the mayor, my buddy Rob, my buddy Sean, we're like, all right, let's go to Bend. Actually, before I get into that, because I'm not too worried about it, but I do want to ask you guys. Part of the genesis of this trip was to visit a mutual, but a friend of mine,
yep.
A mutual friend, buddy of Cobb's and I. And like every time I was like, all right, dude, like we're planning on the trip, we're coming down. And it'd be like 3 days before I'd hear from him. He's like, all right, cool. So last week before we go, I texted him like, hey, man, like I'm going to be there Friday. So I hear from him Thursday. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like super busy with work, but we'll figure something out. So I text him Friday when we got into town, never heard from him all weekend. So I'm like,
wow,
like I get it. He's opening a business, but now I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm just going to leave it alone. I've been there before, right? Like sometimes you just can't. Like this summer, Baird hit me up and he's like, dude, I got like 6 hours in the city. And I'm like, I'm literally on Lake Sammamish. Like swimming, it's 100 degrees, like not going to make it. But Alice is like, all right, man, I guess we didn't hear from him.
Dude, the no response is cold. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, we could speculate about why that happened and whatnot, but I feel like at this point, the friendship is not over, but it's certainly on him to rekindle, if that's what you were asking. I don't know what you were asking us, but
yeah. Well, I think too, like if I was just going down just myself to visit him, I'd be like, what the fuck? But like, I was like, oh dude, we rented an Airbnb. There was four of us. Like, I mean, it wasn't a big deal, but I guess you answered my question. Like, you know what? I'll wait to hear from him. I'll just leave it alone.
Yeah. And you know, the person questioned, like they went through a breakup kind of recently, a big one. And just, I don't know. You never know what's going on in someone's life, you know?
Yeah, I know. Well, I also like too, I had reached out to somebody else, like, just so you know, I'm hanging out with your ex. And then I never even saw their ex. It was my buddy. I'm glad I gave you guys the heads up. So, all right, anyhow. So Ben, right? So when I was hanging out at Crater Lake, like I was staying in La Pine, but I drove through Bend. And right before Mount Hood, and you'll like this, they call it the Hoodland Shopping Center. It's like a liquor store, a Mexican joint, cantina, and a like little grocery store and a gas station. So I'd like stop there to get gas. And you know me, this was years ago. So I was like, oh, there's a liquor store. I'm gonna get a fifth of Fireball. So I have it for my room. So then we're driving out there Friday and we stop at the same place as we're going up the hood to get gas. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. And then it's like, it's 10:55 and it's like, can we just wait 5 minutes and go into the cantina? Cantina was awesome. Like, I wish, like, I don't know why I would ever be there again, but like the drinks were good. Like, we were chatting with people at 11 a.m. Like,
wow. Hoodland.
Hoodland. So anyhow, so we go to Bend. I tell you what, I love that town. Like, the spirit of it was great. Like, the first bar we went to was like a sports bar. You can find that anywhere. But then our place, and everything's close. So we walked over to the McMinimans Friday night. Boom. We just start making friends. Like, within a couple hours, you know, like McMinimans, if you've never been to a McMinimans, they make their own beers and stuff, but they take over places. So this used to be a grade school. So there's like different little hidden bars you can go to, right? So at some point I lose the three guys I'm with, but I'm outside by the fires. I've already made a group of friends. And then they text me and they're like, dude, we're upstairs in this room hanging out with this couple we met, like having free beers. And I'm like, cool. So we go in there. And then we go to this one bar called the Broom Closet, which is like the secret bar. And we walk in, right? We've been in town for less than 5 hours. We walk in. There's a table full of people that are like, Ted! No, Ted's back!
Ted's back?
Right? And the mayor looks at me and just goes, did you tell fans you're coming down here? I'm like, oh no, these people have no idea who I am. I'm just Ted to them.
Like, dude, it always does blow his mind. Like, yeah, that's funny.
Well, Cobb, you traveled with me. Like, being on the radio in Seattle helps, but like, that's just kind of my personality either way. Like, I'm going to chat up people and make some friends.
Yeah, honestly, you are sort of a social hurricane like that. Something I like about you is like, when we go into any sort of social setting, I feel like we just divide and conquer. Like, I see very little of you until about an hour in, you know, like we kind of just do our own thing. I make some friends, you make some friends, we meet up for the scouting report.
Yeah, right. Go ahead, Matt.
So, Ted, I have like a similar style. Like, I picked that up from you. I've seen it in action. It's a great trait. And, you know, our buddy Lance is pretty similar too.
Lance is very good at it.
And so now I'm here where I don't really have any friends. I do that with like a gazillion people all the time, but like no one's, I have clients and then but I meet people like, how does that progress into like up there? I just had so many friends that I'd known forever. And it's like, how does that turn into actual friendship? At what point and what do you do? Not that I'm trying to force it. I kind of like having no friends and playing golf whenever I can. Like, it's nice having.
I think the main thing is like, it's easy to meet people like, you know, at a bar. So like the 420 bank. But if you have been to that 420 bank a couple times and seen like the same couple or some dude and you're broing down, like eventually it's kind of awkward, but you just got to like get a phone number or an Instagram and be like, all right, like we should actually like hang out sometime. Then you know, and it could be just like shooting golf or whatever, but it's good to have, I don't know. I think it's good to have a couple people in your court just in case.
Yeah. Instagram is like the one that I feel like is pretty common these days, right? That's like the hippest but also chillest way. It's like, whoa, 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 what do we need each other's numbers for? You know, but if it's like, yeah, I'll follow you on Instagram, then it's just like chill.
Yeah.
Dude, well, I'll say this too, Matt. You know, this is a tip that Ted gave me probably like 6 or 7 years ago, and I haven't been able to utilize it because I've always lived in like, you know, micro studios and Airbnbs and stuff like that. But one of the main things down here in Austin is we're setting up our apartment for hosting people. And Ted's tip is like, you know, it's kind of an advanced friendship tip, but he's like, have people over to your home. It makes them feel a lot closer to you. And I was thinking about that and I was like, dude, that's true. Cause I feel really close to a ton of people and not that many people feel close to me. It's cause they haven't been to my house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Advanced tip for you. That one's for free, everybody. That's from Ted.
Interesting threshold.
He's right too. The more you think about it, trust me.
Yeah. I mean, right. And if you come over, right, I'm always going to have something, probably some food or something. I mean, that's the other thing too. Like when you feed people or go share a meal with them, especially when you feed them, like you tell a lot without saying anything.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I'll say I pulled a number that night too. So, I mean, your boy was on fire.
In bed?
Oh, yeah.
Powerful.
Well done.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, now we're taking a feather in our cap. We met this other couple, right? So now at this point, like I've talked to the other people, like got that girl's number. Now we're back outside. It's still at the St. Francis School by the fires. And the husband, Brian, orders like 2 pizzas, but like, you know how it is. Now it's like 10 o'clock at night. People are disappearing. So then we're like, we're going to go get in the hot tub. Like, you guys should come over. We're like 2 blocks away. And they're like, for real? And I was like, yeah, well, like you guys are staying here. And they're like, do you want to take some pizza? And I was like, I'll take some pizza. And then the husband's like, dude, why don't you just carry the pizzas back? We'll just follow you. And I'm like, all right. My buddy Sean, who's not a big car guy, now I'm talking to the wife and I'm like, where's Sean? She's like, oh, Brian wanted to show him his truck. I don't know that Sean's ever driven a truck or whatever. By the time I get over there, he's like hanging outside the door being like, this thing's fucking amazing. Can you pop the hood for me?
Nice.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. Like, they were like, I was like, yeah, they trusted us enough. They came over. They took a soak in the tub, in the hot tub.
Oh, that's awesome.
God.
Yeah. And then I just want to mention, like, Ben's really cool too. Like, Crux Brewing was awesome. We went to like Crater Lake Distilling, went to like their tasting room. They had Matt, I know you don't drink anymore. I'm sure they could make a version of it, but they had a Tootsie Roll, small cocktail that I swear to God tasted like a Tootsie Roll. I was like, this is unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bang. Yeah. I love Bend, man. It's such a lively town. Like that river running through the middle. Did you guys go walk around that? And then they also have that surfing wave in the middle of downtown. Did you see that thing?
Yeah, that's the negative ghost rider.
Oh, Ted, dude. Okay. So I'm sure you saw the river that flows through downtown, right?
Sure.
Okay. So this whole town, for people who haven't been to Bend, and people from Washington, it's kind of like Bellingham, but like a little nicer version. It's like if Bellingham and Portland had sex, that's Bend. And so there's this river that wraps through the middle of it. It's the most idyllic looking, slow moving, lazy river. So hundreds and hundreds of people float it on sunny days in the summer. But next to it is a concert venue. And then about halfway through, so in the dead center of town, they built a wave for surfing. So they arranged some rocks and stuff. So there's this surf wave. So people will go out there and all day people are dropping in on this wave, learning to surf. It's super cool. And people do like, you know, what are they called? Wake skating and stuff like that. And yeah, it's kind of a big attraction in the middle of town. So very cool.
Yeah. And Mount Bachelor is only like 20 minutes away. We did on the way into town, we did stop at Smith Rock and check that out. That was pretty cool. Yeah, and like Friday was beautiful. But yeah, Saturday, man, we had fun at Crux, and then like we had to stop at the grocery store, and then we were just bumming around the center of town, like going to places, checking things out. But no, I'm with you. The vibe's super cool. Also, I was shocked how many people I met from all over the country that are just moving there. And they're like, we looked it up. We liked it. Like we could either work remote or find a job here. And I was like, no kidding. And I mean, that Crux Brewery, like, I'm not sure I've ever really drank their beers, but their place is awesome. We were there on what time were we there? Like 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. there had to be 200, 300 people out there already. Like massive space, cornhole, massive dogs. I mean, it was everything you could want.
That's honestly, that's rowdy. I love it.
It was, man. Wow. And like, we were terrible at cornhole. And there was like a couple chirping us. And I was like, oh man, I like this town. Like people feel fine to kind of give you shit. I was like, you know me. I was like, do you guys even play? And they're like, hell no, we don't play. We just sit here and watch the entertainment while we eat and drink.
Dude, I like that. Even, you know, like all sports are, you know, the Super Bowl is over. Like obviously March Madness is, you know, kind of starting to kick off, but like on like basically one of the no sport weekends of the year, you find yourself at a tailgate playing cornhole.
Basically. Yeah. Like, all right, we got, there's no pub league yet. Like, you know what? Let's get out of town and take a road trip.
Honestly, one of our mutual friends sent me a photo of you playing cornhole. And all I responded was in the zone. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but it was a ton of fun. Now, here's another thing we found out. You know what? I can tell that story later. Do you think, first of all, what constitutes a trip like that? Because it's not a bachelor party, but it's like, just like a group of people getting away, getting out of town. People were like, are you here for Mount Bachelor? We're like, no. Like, are you here for this or that? We're like, no, it just seems like a cool town to go to.
You know, I would say that you guys are between categories, but I would lean towards man trip. It's all males on the squad. I would probably go man trip.
Yeah, but that's like when we were in Milwaukee, everybody's like here for the baseball game. We're like, nah. Like, you go, like, what are you guys in town for? We're like, just to visit.
I call it boys. I know. What's wrong with checking boys something weekend? Out?
I guess you're right. It's a boys' weekend. I guess to me, like, we road went trip. We road trip, right? Like, we went to a different breweries and stuff, but like, at the end of the day, it's just like kind of the same thing, like eating some snacks, like talking shit, having beers. I feel like when boys are like boys weekend, it's like, oh man, like anything could happen. It's like what happened, like not pretty much normal. Like we had a good time. There was a hot tub. We went to a couple bars. We met people.
I feel like boys weekend maybe is the move. Ted, what was in your mind coming into this? What were you thinking about it in your head?
You know what? I didn't have a label, but people were just like loved chatting with us and stuff. So they kept asking us. And I was like, I don't know what we'd label this.
You know what I mean? They were like, what's the deal? They needed like a reason.
Right. Because if four guys, like if you're in New Orleans, like I don't pick any city or like you're at the Gorge, it's like, well, you're there for an event. Whereas like we didn't have a particular purpose. It wasn't a bachelor party. So I guess you're right. It was just a boys weekend.
Yeah. It's weird how people like need there to be something. You know what I mean? You're like, you can't just travel and enjoy yourself. I wanted to see some new bars.
And I'm a single dude. So like to me, boys weekend sounds like a bunch of married dudes like trying to get away with their wives. I'm like every weekend's a fucking boys weekend to me. That's what people are like, we need to have like a men's camp, just men. I'm like, nah, we don't.
Like, yeah, that's my life, dog. Yeah. Right. I'm living it. God, dude, that's funny. I never really thought about that. I love that people try to hype you on men's camps.
Yeah, right. Like, you're into that. Yeah. I'm like, no, I did one weekend like that. I don't use the word never. I'd be hard pressed to ever do it again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, hey, your wife's got any friends?
Basically, right. That was kind of the thing all weekend. Well, because somebody was like, I forget how we got on the conversation. Oh, that's right. Somebody in the group just made a joke that said, well, there's always a villain in every crew. So then somebody else went like, well, what do you think our roles are here? And I was like, I feel like I'm generally like outgoing guy that meets other people. But I'm like, everybody on this trip is just as outgoing and good at meeting people. So I was like, I don't really know, like we have set roles, but you know, I feel like
I'm superpower neutralized.
Yes. I feel like a lot of friend groups, you're going to have like the quiet guy or, I don't know, like the weird dude.
Thank you.
Where it's like, right, it's like, no, this is just four really outgoing guys that are going to sit around and have drinks and talk ass about anything.
Just a bunch of high-fiving white guys.
You know what? That's what we were. High-fiving white guys.
Have you seen that skit? I don't know if how long you've been, like, how familiar you are with Seattle history.
Almost Live was not on the air when I... Actually, you know what? It used to come on after SNL. But everybody talked about it so much, so I know SNL and the High Five and White, or Almost Live and the High Five and White Guys.
Oh, nice. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know me, I tried to do my thing in the afternoon. I was like, you know what, man? We could call it an early night by this one, boys. Get home, smoke some weed outside, like watch SNL, hot tub. And they're like, shut up. There is no chance you're going to be sitting on this couch at 8:30. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And at one point we're at some bar and like somebody just comes over, one of our friends, and it's like, hey, man, just so you know, it's 8:30. If you want to get home and watch. I was like, why would I want to go home? Oh, yeah, forget that.
That's awesome. Yeah, dude, Ben would be a fun place for that kind of trip. I feel like that's a perfect destination. Good spot.
Yeah, and like I was saying, like when we drove back on Sunday, oh, once we got over Mount Hood, that I hadn't seen that we, by the way, so for the record, February was about to set a record for the driest February in years. And then after Sunday and Monday, we got over the month's worth of rain in 2 days.
No way.
Oh, yeah. That ride home was a little like we got over Mount Hood and everything was fine. We stopped at the same cantina. The bartender was like, you guys made it back. We're like, we missed brunch, but we did. Nachos, fire. But yeah, once we started getting into Oregon and then got on I-5, I mean, it was gross, man. Like you know, like not like Seattle rain, but just dumping, like people hydroplaning. I think we passed 3 legit accidents.
Wow. Yeah, that's the thing that Bend, you know, it's right on the southern end of Oregon. And so it kind of gets that like Northern California weather almost. Like,
yeah,
I've had a similar experience like driving home. At some point, you just drive underneath a cloud and then that cloud never ends. You just get back to Seattle like 3 hours later.
Yeah, because you're right. I think technically it is high desert. Like that's their temperament over there.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
All right. I feel like I'm just telling a story about Ben. How was your guys' weekend? Oh, you know what? We'll cover that. What's Matt? Cobb, how was your weekend?
Well, I'm just, I'm preparing for the onslaught. So as we talked about on this cast, your brother, do we say his name on here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Chris Smith coming down to Austin here fairly soon. So pumped on that. I got him on the calendar. We've been texting a little bit and, yeah, I got a couple other, the mayor's coming through town and a couple other people coming down. So just was trying to get my place kind of dialed. I'm getting domestic, boys. I own a couple plants now, so I got that going for me. Nice. Luckily, I was able to get desert plants, so they require very little maintenance. Just water them once a week and a little bit of nutrition like once a year. So yeah, so, you know, I would say my life's really coming together. I own a cactus now. We have a dog, so, you know, it's all happening.
Did you get a succulent?
We do have a couple of succulents, yes. Yeah. No, the main thing, so January, the plan was learn to ski. February, the plan was like dial in my place of living so I can like have a launch pad, you know? And so, yeah, mostly done with that. Did a couple things over the weekend, you know, put up some like a coat rack and some, you know, I don't know, man, random projects. You know how it is. But yeah, and then other than that, just been, you know, working out, doing yoga, eating healthy, trying to get my mind right, reading some books, and then pretty soon I'm going to be in Matt's boat, you know, trying to make some friends down here.
Nice.
Yeah. So
I'm in no rush. I was just curious. I figured Ted would be a good person to ask.
Helpful. And there's a difference between like looking for friends and thirsty. You don't want to be thirsty.
Yeah, and it's tough to like you're in a longer play too. It's like you live there. Like yeah. It's easy to kind of like meet people this weekend, like have fun and say what's up, but it takes a little time. Plus, like truthfully, right? Like you don't already have. Trying to remember how to explain this, right? Like I had somebody that like I worked with, so usually that's you're going to meet a lot of people too is through work. Then there's somebody after work, like should we hang outside of work?
Yeah.
And it's awkward. You basically have to ask them on like a date. And it's like, yeah. Sure, you're not trying to fuck them, but there's still that same undertone of like, all right, let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, let's see if there's a total psychopath not in the office.
Everybody has kids, dude. That's what's, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, no, we just fuck off a lot. We play a lot of golf and like, Yeah, it's just an interesting thing. But I do think that's an interesting take on it, and like especially inviting people over. And I did realize like Carson Lohr lives down here and he's been over here, and I do consider him a friend. So
oh yeah. There you go.
That guy's cool, man. I always like his emails, honestly. And his
girl's dope is yeah. I mean, I have to write that down, but yeah, it's cool.
Just this summer, I was at a 3-year-old birthday party with you. Like, you thrive there. Like, I'm sure after a couple months, the people you work with, they'll just be like, do you want to come over and like hang out with the kids? But knowing you, you'll be like, oh, dude, we'll come by. We just kind of want to get out of the house and do something different on a Saturday.
Kids are fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there going to be
someone cake? Offers? Yeah. Cake? What kind of games do they like?
Is there cake, bubbles, and maybe a soda? Yeah, I'm in. all right, let's take a break there, and then we can come back and get into emails. What's Madden and the Cobb topic?
That's that DeMatha can-do attitude. I like that.
All right, welcome back. Thanks to all of our sponsors, whether we know them personally or not.
Nice, dude. I haven't even mentioned that to him yet. Oh, it's good.
I mean, I think that joke, or no, we talked about it a little bit, but I was like, that's really just for us, but I like it. Mr. Cobb, do you have some emails?
Yeah, I'll track it down. okay. I think we kind of talked about it, but apparently the girl I'm dating, a relative of hers had an advertisement come across our podcast, and he doesn't even know that this podcast exists. So it's just some automated thing, but pretty funny.
You mean
okay.
That thing you do in the closet at my daughter's place?
Yeah. I know. I'm also literally in a closet right now recording this.
That's insane. That podcast? Why is my company involved?
I know. And it's not like it's like a pretty like respectable profession. It's not like they're like, you know, like pest control or hauling out dead bodies or something. So like, I'm sure they don't want to be associated with us. But anyway, I'm scared, honestly, to bring it up, because then I'm scared he'll listen and then hear like, you know, 7 years of us talking trash about all manner of things, you know, not like, yeah, I mean, nothing off limits. So anyway,
I know the feeling.
A bit too intimate. Okay. Cobb, this email is for you. Let me just start with saying I love the podcast so damn much. I started listening because of Ted. Then I found the overnight sensation, Matt Koch. Then I heard you. I couldn't believe I found a podcast I could relate to three different hosts so much in so many different ways. I love the triangle of insight you all have. Then I found the Aaron Cobb Experiment, which was a podcast I did a couple of years ago. Was that in 2018, I think? I'm going to stop being a fanboy, but please know I appreciate you. Ted and Matt, more than you know. I have met you all at a couple of the podcast meetups, but I appreciate the three of you so much. If nothing else, I just hope this lets you know that you're helping people, and I appreciate you all. Awesome. Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Do we know? Did they not sign their name?
They didn't. All right.
Follow the rule. I appreciate it. So look, years ago, I told Cobb, if you don't sign your name to an email, I was like, don't read it. So like, you know, sometimes you forget and the student becomes the teacher.
Ted, honestly, it's so funny because we've been friends for a long time. And, you know, obviously I have a lot of different friends in radio. And like, that's like the one rule of radio I feel like I actually know. I'm like, hey, if they didn't sign it, like, or if they put just a nickname, that's all I read. Like, read what they wrote. Dance with the girl who brought you. Thank you, Ted Smith.
Trust me. When we went back to the St. Francis bar, I dropped that. Like, people were like, oh, you guys are back. Dance with the girl that brought you.
Football memories. Hola, boys. Catching up on the cast this week, and you reminded me of a couple of football memories. First one was the Super Bowl loss to the Pats, the Patriots. My buddy and I had fistfuls of Skittles ready to throw all around the house when we got that touchdown. We were all so certain what was coming. No Skittles were thrown that day, unfortunately. The second was the Hawks and Vikings championship game of that same season. My parents and my father-in-law and I were watching the game in a bar in Seaside, Oregon on a trip. There was one couple in the bar that was suspiciously quiet and focused on the game. They were not wearing any team colors. When Blair Walsh lined up for the last kick, the guy at the table stands up, starts to unzip his jacket, revealing a purple jersey. As the kick went wide, the guy zips his jacket up to his throat and leaves the bar without his girlfriend and without closing his tab. I nearly pissed myself. I was laughing so hard and will never forget it. Oh, that's awesome.
Real quick, I know somebody's going to email us. For the record, that game was the following year. The championship game before they lost to the Patriots was the comeback against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Oh, yeah, that crazy Packers game. I forgot about that. Also, in response to Ted's comment about driving an extra 12 hours from Yellowstone to Seattle in Bernie's RV, 12 hours driving with an RV or travel trailer is not the same animal as 12 in a car. Something I learned over the last few COVID summers after buying our own travel trailer. Anyways, thanks to the cast, boys. Keep them coming. The Exterminator.
Trust me, Exterminator. I hear you. I was just shocked he didn't realize how close, how far west Yellowstone National Park is.
Yeah, seriously. Those East Coasters, man. Even over there, I feel like even a 3-hour drive is far. Okay, the title of this...
I think East Coast people drive farther. Like, when you see my brother, ask him. Like, he drives down to Charleston. It's like, yeah, it's 7.5-8 hours. But, like, out here, there's not... You go to Spokane, that's like 5. But, like, Portland's so close. So, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like East Coast people travel farther. Just, you're passing more stuff. The main thing is, Bernie's a smart individual. He just never been this far. Like, he just really... I don't know where he thought it was. It just thinks I live in fucking Mars. And I was like... Dude, if you're that close, come on over.
Dude, I guess what I would say, most of my experience is from Boston, and I just know that they like almost never drive to New York, and that's only 3 hours away. And I was like, dude, it's like right down the street. Like 3 hours is nothing. I mean, that we couldn't even get to, like, that's like, you know, to Wenatchee or whatever. But the other thing that I guess led me to believe that about East Coast people is almost everybody from the West Coast at some point has been to the East Coast. Almost nobody from the East Coast has at some point been to the West Coast. I would say 70% of people in Boston and New York have not been to the West Coast. Crazy.
You're exactly right. And I'm going to keep telling stories. But right, the second night we were back at the McMenamins, so I'm wearing a hoodie. Cobb, you've seen me in that St. Patrick's Day hoodie.
Yep.
But it's from a place called Looney's Pub in Maryland, right? And these dudes are just like, are you from Maryland? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, why? And they're like, Looney's Pub. And I'm like, oh, yeah, man, I'm from College Park. And they're like, we all went to College Park. And I was like, no shit. But it's very odd to see all those East Coasters out here.
Yeah. So it's like rare. Like, they really stand out. Like, even when we were in Park City, I mean, I met two people and both of them I immediately identified as from New York or New Jersey. And both of them I was right. You know, it's like.
Oh, just, what do you mean by that?
No, it wasn't even, you know, honestly, it wasn't even the accent. It was the content. But yeah.
All right. I thought you also did pretty good on that front, Ted.
The guy was like, if I ran this ski resort, all the lifties would be in bikinis, beautiful women. We wouldn't have to wait in any lines. I was like, all right, dude, like that's awesome. And he was going off. Like, I'm not going to go into it, but he was a wild character. And then the other one I got into an argument with about cryptocurrencies. That was fun. But people don't understand. East Coast people are pretty aggressive, but that's just like their way of communicating. Where West Coast people are like, is this guy mad at me? I was like, no. He just wants to go back and forth. Like some New Yorker guy. Okay. The subject line of this email is posture and bitch gloves.
All right.
Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
First off, posture is king when you're as short as Matt and I are. Easily makes you look 3 or 4 inches taller. Ted might even be mistaken for 6 feet. Secondly, I was always anti-crutch, but my garage is only heated above 40 when I'm in there. So I bought some gloves this winter because goddamn that bar was cold. I am now 100% behind be comfortable and just be here. What's the line on how long it takes Matt to tell us he saw Woodshed at the 420 bank? I'll take $5 on before 2024. LARP on, Scott, the friendly IT guy. Woodshed, that's what it was, dude.
Woodshed.
Oh, that's... That's a great email, and it makes a great point about gloves. Like, who cares?
That man listens to the podcast. I'll just tell you right there, just from that comment, that man listens. He definitely owns the podcast stock. Let's go.
The early stuff before we split it.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott. That's a great email. All the land. Sometime in the last couple of years, I noticed and was able to remember my body's breathing rhythm when I'm falling asleep. For me, it's a more rapid, shallowish breath. Now, whenever I want to fall asleep, I intentionally breathe in this rhythm. I swear I fall asleep in a fraction of the time now. Cheers.
All right. That's a good life hack.
Oh, that's, yeah, you're right. That was the title, was life hack. Thank you, Ted. Yeah, there was like that one about like pilots. We might have talked about it, how they try to like relax their face. It's pretty hard to do, but it's really good for falling asleep if you like relax every micro muscle in your face. And final email, life hack tip. I have a couple of life hacks to help me achieve my daily goals. First, when I go to brush my teeth, to make sure I floss daily, I floss before I brush. That way it's done by the time I brush and I don't have an excuse not to. Wow, that's actually good because I'm bad at flossing.
Are people flossing afterwards? I thought you always flossed beforehand.
I've always flossed after. Not really sure why.
All right.
Second, to drink my daily gallon of water, I fill up a gallon jug of lukewarm water first thing in the morning, then pour that into my favorite water bottle throughout the day. I need it lukewarm, otherwise it'll lower my body temperature too much, and I'll avoid drinking it until it warms up. That causes a lot of lost time and won't be able to catch up those numbers. I ain't playing that. I've got goals to achieve. Good luck this year, Michelle.
Oh, nice. Also, like, I know we got another email that just came to mind. I don't know. Like, either way. So first of all, it was about the lady loggers.
Oh, hello.
And she was saying that. No, because, like, why aren't they just the loggers? The high school team, her kids play, but, like, they're the lady loggers. So it's about Lady Terps or Lady Halls.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
You're right. I don't know why we do that. Also, yeah, I found out this weekend. That's a good conversation starter. People are like, why don't we do that? Or why do we do that? I'm like, I don't know. But it was from Dom, who I'm almost positive is the one that lives in Onalaska. Dom, you'll be happy to know when we passed it on the way home, I went, there it is. Yeah. And they were like, why do you care? And I was like, oh, we have a list, or we have an emailer that emails us all the time and gives out squatty potties.
Yeah, and she's cool. Yeah, for some reason I love Exit 11 Vader.
Right, and we've talked about this. I have kind of hung out in Vader, like on the river there.
Wait, I just realized I made a mistake. Exit 11 is Battleground Washington, home of Battleground Pizza. Vader is its own thing.
It is. Yeah, and Battleground's also the greatest rest stop area in the world. That's where we stop with the ECS buses before we go to Portland. Chug beers. It's as close as you're going to get to hooliganism in a fun way.
Battleground, baby.
Battleground, right?
But dude, actually,
on Alaska, nice.
Real quick on the topic of hooliganism, I was chatting with, so my business partners obviously grew up in Dublin, in Ireland, and we were chatting a little bit about some of the stuff going on with the Ukraine thing, which we don't really need to get into, but they're, ambassador went on TV in Ireland and basically was saying he was like, oh, it's not an attack. Like, Russia's not doing anything, whatever. Da, 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 da. And like, Europe just has a hooligan culture. Like, in the US, people protest, but I feel like it's a little more like reserved. Dude, he said that 15 to 20,000 people went outside of the embassy and egged the embassy, egged the guy's car, and we're like throwing trash at it and stuff, and just like they just take matters into their own hands. Like, they're pissed about something, like, they're not voting, they're like, hey mate, let's go down to the store, like, get a bunch of eggs and go ham. And like, I love that, man. Freaking hilarious.
Yeah,
activism.
All right, yeah, let's check out with what's Matt.
Hey, what's good?
What's Matt?
Before we get to what's Matt,
hey, what's good?
What's Matt?
Whoa.
Check out with what's Mattening.
Hey, what's good?
What's Mattening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Mattening.
Hey, what's good?
What's Mattening?
Whoa.
Check out with what's Mattening.
All right.
Oh, did I catch? Sorry, I didn't mean to catch. I wasn't looking at you.
No, yeah, I'm ready. It was a good weekend. Let's see. I'm trying to get it in chronological order. But I had I sent you guys that picture from when I was at the fair having that.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry, I did not respond.
So I just figured that's why I was stuck. I was like, well, we're just going to start with the fair because, you know, you guys.
Yeah, we're kind of losing you, man.
Well, it's a good time because I'm the one talking. So,
yeah.
Yeah, the fair was great. I sent you guys a picture of me eating that turkey leg and everything said Texas sized. Like I had the Texas sized turkey leg and then I had a Texas sized donut.
Yeah, Texas, everything's bigger.
The Texas sized donut was just an entire paper plate. Cobb, is that like a regular thing down there or is that just fair food just claiming Texas?
I honestly don't know, but what I can tell you is when I went to school, there was a guy there from Texas, and to make fun of him, every time someone was big, people would be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go have me a big old Texas sized beer. Like a big old Texas-sized slice of pizza or whatever it was. So it may be a thing, but definitely Texans are known for everything being bigger. And I would say that mostly holds true, including their waistlines.
But do you have like donuts that are this big?
Matt, it's like the Big Rock Candy Mountain down here. I mean, we have donuts the size of your car. We have beautiful women just waiting to fan you with ferns and feed you grapes. It's all, everything you hear is true. It's like Eden.
I will say Texas, everything is bigger in Texas, but also there is a thing. It's like, there's a bakery in the market where your shop is that literally says like Texas sized donuts.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually those things are pretty good. Also, in anybody who lives like in and around Kingsgate, Factory Donut, one of the best donut shops in Washington, top five, not top three. They have a giant donut that's really good too.
Top five, not three.
So there you go.
Get it straight.
That one's free. Boys, I have a passion for donuts. I'm sorry. Okay. Sometimes it bleeds through. I know no one cares. No,
it's great. That's why I had to get it. Cause I was like, this Texas sized donuts, my boy in Texas is donut king. Like, so I got the Samoa flavored one and it like had caramel and coconut and chocolate fudge all over the top of it. I couldn't finish it. It was just gigantic and Texas amount of syrup on top too.
For the record, we started our road trip by picking up my buddy in Tacoma. We were like, what's your address? And he's like, just pick me up at Legendary Donuts. And we had giant donuts on the way down.
Sounds like a great start to a boys' weekend.
Right. Boys weekend! Yeah! I always wished I could like smash a beer open on my forehead just for boys weekends.
Gosh. Yeah.
I love when people do that kind of stuff.
I've wanted to be able to do that so many times.
Me too.
Yeah. So we went on some rides at the fair. Have you guys seen the bar that you hang on there? That's like the game.
Yes, dude. You know, oh my God. Yes. No. Tell me about it. I'm so interested in this.
It's rigged as hell, dude. But it literally now
it can be beat. It can be beaten.
What's the trick?
Dude. Okay. You should tell people what we're talking about first.
Okay. Well, I don't know exactly how it's rigged. All I know is like you shift your grip a fraction of an inch and the whole bar just flies out from under your hands.
It's like a pull-up bar and it's basically like kind of tries to take advantage of men being like, I'm tough. Like I can do a bunch of pull-ups. I could easily hang from that bar. And he's like, okay, if you can hang from the bar for 2 minutes, I'll give you some kind of prize, like insert, you know, $100 or whatever. And it's like $20 to do it. And the reason nobody can do it is twofold. One, the bar is really thin. And so the size of a man's hands, it's actually pretty tough to grip it. And then two, the bar is not secured. So the bar can actually roll towards you. And when you're hanging there, it rolls towards you, putting your wrists in a compromised position. So that combined with the blood flowing out of your arms for 2 minutes makes it almost impossible, even for the most in shape men, to hold on for 2 minutes. Rock climbers can do it, but the secret, actually, maybe I shouldn't tell the secret on here, but it is beatable.
Dude.
Oh, all right. Man. I mean, I wouldn't try it either way.
You got to tell me the secret.
There's a YouTube video where a guy goes through like kind of what's going on and how to beat it. And basically you put your thumb across your fingers, you put your thumb across your fingers and you make it so pressure from your thumb is pushing down on your hand.
All right.
It was a 90-second challenge. It cost me $10 for one attempt for a bunch. And I made it to 75 seconds and then it just gave out from under me and I just slid right off. But yeah, it was, there's a whole crowd by that point. And he was like, oh, everybody get ready to count him down to 10. And I was like, man, I don't need attention right now. Like I'm trying to focus. And I was like, this carny's playing mind games with me up here. And that probably didn't help my time, but there's no way I was making it that last 15 seconds without adjusting my grip a little bit. And well, yeah,
obviously he's messing with you. It's a carnival game.
Yeah. No, I know. No, I was so zen for the first like 70 seconds. And then in the last five, it's like my grip's going. And then I was like, this guy's playing carny tricks with me. And then, yeah, it was over before I knew it. So yeah, that was fun. Golf's going good. Chipped in for a birdie on 17. That's a hole I've tripled a lot of times. So I was very happy with that. We'll nice. Call it there.
It's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Top topic.
Top topic.
We'll make it short and sweet, boys. I'm not going to say the context, but I saw a girl in a dominatrix leather type dress wearing a ball gag. She's a very attractive woman, but the ball gag just didn't do it for me. And so the cop topic this week is, what's a typical turn on that actually turns you off? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. What's a typical turn on that actually turns you off? Yeah, and we'll read it on the show. What do you got, boys?
I mean, there's
heads into everything.
That aren't my favorite, but like turn off is a tough.
It's a strong word. I agree.
Well, yeah, not turn off. Maybe you don't get the appeal. That works too. You're just like, I don't know, Jell-O wrestling, not for me.
Oh, yeah. I watched Jell-O wrestling in a second.
Yeah, I was joking. Dude, come on, please. I would buy shares of Jell-O just to see the wrestling. Yeah. Obviously. Man, I still remember, Ted, I still remember China and some other unnamed wrestler in the WWE. And that was like the first time I saw like, a woman's upper body on television. Jell-O wrestling. One of the main events. So like, come on, dude. I mean, I don't hate the game. This was an example. I'm helping you brainstorm.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, yeah, I can hear you, Matt. And Ted's just over there literally into everything. He's just laughing. He's like, God, I check every fetish box on the list.
I don't know. I feel like now whatever I say is going to sound like rude. Like, I don't know, fedoras? And they're like, no, I've dated girls that wore fedoras. I'm just like, a normal turn on. Like, I mean, fetishes is easier. I can tell you fetishes. I'm not like dominatrix stuff. I don't really care about, but I'd still be like, that dominatrix is hot. I'm turned on. I just don't want to get hit.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Right. Yeah. Ted, basically, I'm looking for you to kink shame somebody, but you don't have to.
it's fun hearing you talk about that because basically like Ted's kind of bread and butter over the years has always been like blondes with big boobs, and I've always been more infatuated with brunettes with nice asses.
Wow, I'm in both of those camps.
Yeah,
I mean, if we're keeping it real, I don't know.
Well, that's what I
what if they were mud wrestling?
Yeah, pro. Oh my God. Actually, no, the girls were mud wrestling in that thing I remembered. I forgot about that. It wasn't Jell-O. It was mud. White bikini, yeah, too.
I remember it too, Cobb. I think a lot of people do. I think a few of our listeners might.
Well, it's a podcast. I don't mind saying it here, but it's like, I don't know, like whenever I'm kind of starting dating a girl, like what kind of girls, like what are you really into? I can't be like, ah, oh, man, honestly, just trashy. Like, oh, well, you can't say that to somebody. It sounds horrible. And it's like, no, like, oh, man, like that's why I was like, I'm going to sit this one out. And I already got into trouble again.
Ted's like, give me a girl in a flannel and a pair of cut off jeans and I'm good to go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. All right, Cobb, before we end, quick question. Years ago, we'd get together on a night like tonight, this specific night. Do you know why I bring that up?
This specific night is in the date of today?
The date changes, but this night specifically.
Oh, Hot Tub Tuesday?
Laissez la bonne rente, man. It's Fat Tuesday. We'd go get a hurricane.
Woo! Let the good times roll.
I was like,
yeah, baby.
I bet outside your window there's a lot of people tonight.
Yeah, dude. Actually, I did see some people wearing the necklaces today. I forgot that it's Fat Tuesday. That makes a lot of sense. Wow.
Yeah, Matt, I think you came with us once. I mean, you might have still been drinking. You might have had a hurricane with us at the hurricane.
At the hurricane?
The yeah. Cane, baby.
Oh, I loved that place.
All right, maybe not. Either way, you're hearing this. Oh. Hope you're having fun. I should have brought this up last week. But either way, my buddy Jeremy that owns Go Brewing, he was like, you guys can podcast from down here. And I was like, it's on Zoom, but yeah. So I've already missed plugging his place, but Jeremy, they got good beers. The Treme is delicious, and they have food there. It's a cool brewery down in Auburn. So go check that out if you get a chance. Other than that, you know, see you boys next week. Hopefully, if I have a connection.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Another episode. For MCTP, I'm sure he's still there. For Cobb, I'm D.T. Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.